revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have one of my favorite guests on. We're going to talk to Dr. Susan Smith Jones, and today we're going to talk about God. As you know, Susan has made extraordinary contributions in the field of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. For starters, she taught students, staff, and faculty at UCLA how to be healthy and fit for 30 years. She's the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness and human potential. She travels the world as a frequent media show guest and healthy living consultant. She's also the author of many books, including her latest two books on living more mindfully, joyfully, and peacefully. Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality, and her faith-based book, Wired for High-Level Wellness, Simple Ways to Rejuvenate, Meditate, and Prosper. Now, as a mindful living as a Christian, it emphasizes awareness, presence, and intentionality in daily life, integrating faith with mindfulness practices. It's about fully being aware of God's presence in our lives, allowing His peace to guide us through each day. By integrating mindfulness practice with Christian faith, says our guest today, we open our hearts to a better life filled with positive change that reflects God's love in our everyday life. As she will cover in our discussion today, this isn't just about quiet time or meditation. It's about living intentionally, savoring the small moments, and staying grounded in God's word as we navigate the busyness of life. A proponent of living more mindfully from a Christian perspective, Susan is going to give us some tools so we can live a satisfying and more balanced life. And Susan, I want to welcome you back today, because today our conversation at the beginning of a new year, I think it's time that people, in my opinion, come back to God, and that's how we balance ourselves in every way. So thank you very much for joining me.
Well, thank you, and I can't agree with you anymore. We all need to return to faith, to grow our faith, and to live a more God-centered life. So knowing I have this opportunity to talk about what is so important to me today with you brings me great joy.
You know, I think joy is what living is about. I don't think people live with joy anymore. So let's talk. The first question I have to ask is about mindfulness. What does it mean to you? And why do you think it's the first step in being happy and fulfilled?
Yes, great place to start. Well, for me, mindfulness represents a mental state that we all can experience by focusing our awareness on what? The present moment, while at the same time calmly acknowledging and accepting our feelings, thoughts, maybe body sensations. And most people don't live in the present moment with mindfulness, but instead they dwell on the past or focus on one or more of their future goals with a little trepidation and worry. And our moment of power, as my grandmother used to teach me when I was a teenager, is truly the present moment, being mindful of the blessings that are all around us. And Dr. Elena, one of my favorite quotes is by Henry David Thoreau. And this is something he said centuries ago. What lies before us and what lies behind us are small matters compared to what lies within us. And then he goes on to say, and when we bring what is within out into the world, miracles happen. I love that. There's so much truth to these words. And living a God-centered life is what we'll talk about today. Carpe diem, seize the day. We all know what that means.
We sure do. But I don't think we actually practice what we preach. You know, he says something very interesting about either mourning what happened or somehow, usually it's negative, you know, when we're talking about thinking back, or there's anxiety with what's going to happen. And when you're in the moment, you have the ability, don't you, to control your future. What you choose in the present affects the future, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And what we think about, we bring more of the same right back into our lives. So we have to be aware of our thoughts. Throughout our visit today, I'll give you some of my favorite Bible quotes. And one in 2 Chronicles 15, I forget the exact verse. It's, "Be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." And Isaiah 7:9, one of my favorites, because you just talked about faith. "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all."
Wow. I think those two, it's an empowering, both of them are empowering phrases that give you peace of mind. I think, you know, do you feel that people feel more anxious because they feel like they don't have control, that things are happening?
Yes. Yeah. When you feel out of control, then you feel fearful. Fear is often stands for false evidence appearing real. And then when you're fearing and you don't feel like you have control, then it makes you want to control everything around you rather than being more and letting go and knowing that 24/7 you're never alone. God's always with you. And, you know, so I'll take a little closer look at mindfulness. And I want to give you, I'll preface it by saying this. So imagine now you're sitting in your favorite comfy chair and the morning light is filtering through the window and you take a deep breath. And this simple act of focusing on your breath is not just about relaxation, it's about being still and knowing that He is God. You know, one of my favorite Bible quotes, Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." And in that moment of just breathing deeply, focusing on your breath, it's a moment to quiet your mind and open your heart to God's presence. And there are 4 simple things I can talk about that I do during the day to be able to live more mindfully and focus on the present moment.
Please tell me.
Okay. So number one, I call it body scan meditation. So think of it like this. Think about it as though you're preparing your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That's Romans 12:1. Romans is so great, by the way. The whole Bible is, but such great information on how to live more fully and mindfully in Romans. And what this is about is by paying attention to each part of your body, you're becoming more aware of the temple God has given you, ready to glorify Him. Like I've talked to you before about one of the gifts God gives us is our miraculous body. One of the gifts we give back to God is to take really good care of our body temple. And I like to do this when I'm going to bed at night or first thing in the morning. I try to scan through my body. I just scan and just see what's going on in the stillness, in the quiet, and I connect with the Spirit of God within me. So that's one way of living a little more mindfully. And another way I like to call loving kindness meditation. So Jesus told us that we have to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Mark 12:31. And by focusing on phrases of kindness and compassion, we're practicing the love and grace that Christ exemplified. So, you know, imagine sending a wave of love to your neighbor. I'm trying to make this practical. To your family, or even to someone with whom you've had a disagreement. This is what I referred to as loving kindness meditation. And then I love mindful walking. So picture yourself right now, and then maybe you can do this tomorrow or this week. Picture yourself walking through a park or maybe taking a hike in the mountains like I did this morning in the Santa Monica Mountains. Each step is a prayer. Each breath is a moment of gratitude for God's creation. You know, in the Bible, we read about David a lot, and David often reflected on God's promises while walking, and so can we. In fact, I'm so into prayer, walking, or hiking that in my book, Uplifted, I devoted an entire chapter on exactly how to do this. If anyone wants to practice once a week prayerful or mindful walking. And then the fourth mindful practice could be five senses exercise. So this is like, in my opinion, like tuning into God's symphony of creation, like the chirp of a bird or the scent of fresh flowers, the warmth of the sun on your skin, the magnificence of a resplendent sunrise or sunset. These are all gifts from God, and mindfulness helps us appreciate them fully. In fact, in appreciating the gifts of nature, I believe softens our hearts and makes us more tender and kinder. I'm a big fan of Jane Austen, and these words from Jane Austen have always touched my heart. My grandmother, when I was a teenager, had me read all of Jane Austen's books, and I always wanted to write like Jane Austen. But she said, "There is no charm equal to tenderness of heart." And she also shares these wise words with us: "It isn't what we say or think that defines us, but what we do." And that always reminds me that actions speak louder than words. So show by your daily actions that you are choosing to practice the presence of God in your life. Open your heart to His loving light and invite your faith to flourish in Christ. And everything we're talking about today will help you do just that.
I think that's beautifully said. I mean, there's nothing like being vulnerable, right? And gratitude opens that up. And then somehow people respond to that. There's like either you reflect that or you reflect anger, you just put people on defense. I think there's so much of that going on that people are so self-protective. They're lashing out, or that be verbally or emotionally. And I think we can take a page from what you just said, and we could try to not do that. And I think that would actually change some of the energy that we are experiencing on this earth. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It will help us to turn within more. Listen to the whispers of our heart. God is always whispering to us, helping us with what to say, what to do. Maybe when we're with someone, and if we have time, I'll talk a little bit more about this later. We just listen more. Listen rather than looking down at our smartphone or thinking, how am I going to respond to what this person is saying? And this is all about living in the present moment. And there are other things that you can do to live more in the present moment with that mindfulness and a God-centered focus. One is, because we all eat meals, one is, I refer to it as mindful eating. So remember the Last Supper. Jesus used meals as a time for teaching and fellowship, and eating mindfully can be a way to honor the food that God provides and the company maybe we share it with. I like to recommend to savor each bite. Don't just inhale your food. Don't just eat it just for taste, but notice and recognize and give thanks for the nourishment that it provides.
I mean, that's the prayer with your meal, which I don't think people take enough time now to do. They're on the run, they're in their car, they're eating fast. And I remember we sat down as a family and said a prayer before we started to eat. And that we've gotten away from that, though, I think, as a society.
You know what we have, and it's called grace. And I don't care if I'm alone or with other people, even if they don't want to join in. I always take a moment to thank God for the food, for the people that helped grow it, who helped prepare it. And then it helps me literally to slow down when I'm eating, because it's hard to get the most out of your food when you don't even put your fork down in between bites. That will be another topic for another show. Mm-hmm. But I'm also into, I call it single tasking. You know, we live in a world, we all know this, that glorifies multitasking. But if we could just focus on one task at a time, you can make that, like I like to do, a form of worship. I've learned this concept very well during all of my countless readings of one of my favorite all-time spiritual Christian books by Brother Lawrence called The Practice of the Presence of God. Such a beautiful book. If you want something to inspire you to bring more faith in God into your daily life, you want to read The Practice of the Presence of God. It's very old and it's beautiful. And so maybe imagine you're writing a letter to a friend, giving it your full attention, a single task. You know, just as God gives us his undivided attention. Have you ever read The Practice of the Presence of God?
No, I haven't. I need to.
Oh, it's so wonderful. You know, they have different versions, different covers, but it's still this wonderful monk who wrote this book on how everything he did during his day, he tried to make it like a worship, a form of worship for God. It just gave me chill bumps, angel bumps the whole time I read that. Now, here's an important one, too, for everybody. Digital detox. Setting aside time to disconnect from technology can be a way to reconnect with God. I think of it as a modern-day Sabbath, a time to rest, to reflect, and to be free from digital noise. And like I mentioned a moment ago, there's also mindful listening. When someone is speaking, truly listen, not just to respond, but to understand. And I think this reflects the love and the patience of Christ. Christ, who always listened to people's needs and their cries. And so, you know, he's always my shining example. And then gratitude reflection. You and I talked about this on a previous show about the importance of gratitude, how it blesses our lives. But every day, take a moment to count your blessings and acknowledge at least three things for which you're grateful. It could be as simple as the warmth of your hands, how they feel around picking up your mug of tea or coffee, or the sweetness of a family pet. Or as profound as the love of your family. But this practice aligns with the biblical call to give thanks in all circumstances. You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 about be grateful. And don't just leave your gratitude for the Thursday in November, Thanksgiving Day. What you think about, remember. All the blessings you have, focus on that positivity. You'll bring more of those blessings back right into your life.
That's a great place to take our first break. And so let's come back and pick this up in a minute. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Doc Jones. And your book, Joy and the Butterfly, I just want to mention to readers that you won the gold medal and the Mom's Choice Awards for Best Family-Friendly Book and Inspiring Story. So I want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you so much. It's a novelette. It's for kids of all ages, and it's for adults who are young at heart. Just briefly, it's this little magical tale of friendship, faith, and everyday miracles. And a butterfly is a heavenly messenger in this book that teaches a young girl, Joy, 10-year-old girl, how kindness, faith, gratitude, and courage can transform her life and her whole community. She and her family moved from the hustling, bustling city to a quaint little farmland in a beautiful town where people don't walk around looking at their cell phones. There's a little main street, and she learns all these lessons about faith, about the magic of ordinary days, about the health benefits of unplugging, by the way, the merits of eating a healthy diet, how when you count your blessings every day, you become a magnet for miracles. And she goes through lots of challenges, and she saves a caterpillar who turns into a butterfly that becomes her best friend. And there's something that happens at the end of this novelette that is so incredible. And I have in Joy's afterword at the end of the book, it says, as in Joy's voice, please don't tell anything about this amazing thing that just happened at the end of the book, because we want it to be a secret for let people discover on their own what happens. You can talk about it to people who have read the book, but you keep this a secret and let people discover it on their own, and it will knock your socks off.
I'm looking forward to reading that. You know, at the beginning of the show, I talked a bit about anxiety. It seems to me that that is one of the most pervading emotions that's running rampant in society. We have children with anxiety. I mean, I remember ever being anxious as a child. It was always about wonder and the next thing you're going to learn, and adults and all this medication that people are taking. So the fact that it's so widespread, can you give us some suggestions for mindfulness practices instead of taking the pharmaceutical route? How can people support themselves and reduce their stress and encourage your emotional well-being?
And thank you for that question. And you're so right about, I hardly ever find anyone that isn't feeling anxious. And when we were children, I didn't feel it. It was great. I'm not saying I was 100% happy every day, but not like what you see these days. I think technology has a whole lot to do with it. That's why I made the Joy's character in the novelette someone who doesn't even use a cell phone. Her parents won't let them until they go turn 18 or go off to college, she and her five siblings. But here are some really practical mindfulness practices that we can do to reduce daily stress and support our emotional well-being. One is journal reflection. You know, I have a really nice journal. You know how at a bookstore or Amazon or wherever you shop, you can buy a journal that has nothing written in it so that it's yours to write. It can be lined or unlined. I make sure mine's beautiful. And I also use nice colorful pens depending on my mood that day, which I use different colors. And every single day, and I recommend this, you write down in your journal your thoughts, and prayers. This can be a form of meditation rather than just sitting and closing your eyes, focusing on your breath. Your journal reflection can be a form of meditation, helping you process your emotions in the light of God's truth. And what I often do when I write in my journal is I imagine writing a letter to God, pouring my heart out to God, and helping me to find peace in his response. In this journal reflection, I also recommend that you include writing down at least three things for which you are grateful for that day. It doesn't matter what time you do it. It's just a wonderful reflective process, and it goes back to single tasking. Your task is to write your thoughts and prayers in this journal. And it just is a wonderful practice that anyone can do. But you want to get a nice journal for this rather than just a tablet of paper.
You know, I journal as well, and one of the things I noticed about it is that you're in the moment. You're not able to think about anything. You're really focused, and nothing really enters that space. And it allows me to be a lot more to kind of hone in on my feelings. It makes you really have to put them into words, express them, relate to them or not, and examine them. I don't think people do enough self-reflection about what they're happy about themselves or what they want to change, or just being present so that you can figure out, why am I happy or why am I not happy? And then what do I need to do, and how can God help me get there?
Yeah, no, I love that. But also keep this in mind, you know, although I think it's about to change, lots of kids these days, as they grow up, don't know how to write cursively. They don't have good handwriting. It's all more technology and on the computer. And I recommend that when you do this reflective journaling, that you literally write longhand. You don't type it into a computer on a page and then put it in a folder. You write it out, because that helps you get in more greater touch with your thoughts, helps you think more clearly when you put things on paper. When I wrote Joy and the Butterfly, the subtitle's The Magical Garden, I literally took out a tablet of paper. It took a year to write this book. Took out a tablet of paper and wrote it longhand, because it made me think a little bit more mindfully, clearly. You know, my intention was better. And then I took my paper and typed it into the computer, because when you turn a book in, they don't want longhand. But it just helped me write. And I'm never without a tablet of paper. I have Post-its or little tablets I carry with me. There's one in my car, next to my bed, in my tote bag, everywhere I go, for when these great thoughts come to me from God. I used to think, I won't forget that. I don't need to write it down. But you do forget it. And so I write it down, and often I add these into my journal. When I do my journal reflection, these great thoughts I get throughout the day.
Does it take you a long time to do this? My impression is, even if it's 5 minutes, it's still valuable, right?
Oh, gosh, 1 minute is valuable. 1 minute of sitting and breathing slowly and deeply in and out. 1 minute calms your mind, releases those hormones that make you feel better, that elevate your mood. So, and they're way to do consolidate things. For example, let's say you have a nice backyard and you've got beautiful plants. And it's important to be out in nature as often as possible, appreciate the beauty. But while you're doing that, this can be a single task. This could be when you're doing your breathing deeply. And this is one of my next tips. I'll get back to progressive relaxation in a moment, but it's pause and breathe throughout the day. Take moments to breathe deeply. It's always for me a reminder to pause and pray, you know, seeking God's guidance in the midst of your day, and we always need to reset. Like in the morning, I recommend that you always take prayer meditation time before you jump up, go to your computer, and start the hustle and bustle of the day. Because the first 40 minutes of your day sets the tone for the whole day. And then midday, maybe you pause a minute or two, breathe deeply at the end of the day. For sure, before you go to bed, you want to do that. I was curious once, a couple decades ago, about how often am I thinking about God? Because I want to live a more God-centered, mindful life. And so I set my watch to go off every hour on the hour, except when I was sleeping. And I wanted to see in that, like at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, when my little beep went off on my watch, was I thinking about God at that moment? Like like Brother Lawrence did decades ago, practicing the presence of God. And honestly, most of the time I was not thinking about God. But and then I made a 21-day agreement, because it usually takes 21-day consecutive days in a row for your body and mind to accept a new habit. And closer to the 21st day, most of the time at the top of the hour, I could look up and I was already thinking about God. So I changed a habit, and that was great. So you want to pause and breathe throughout the day. Just breathing will calm you down. And we talked a while ago about feeling anxious. It will help to quell that anxiety in your body. And another thing you can do, and probably you learned about this in high school and college, called progressive muscle relaxation. This can be a physical expression of letting go of your burdens, of trusting in God's strength. You could lie on your bed and do this. You could lie on the floor somewhere in your home. And right now, you could picture yourself. You don't have to lie down. You can stay seated. I like to lie down because I get really relaxed that way. And then picture yourself releasing tensions, not just in your muscles, you know, like my toes are relaxed, progressive, going up your body. My calves are relaxed, my hips all the way up, my torso, my head, my arms, my fingers. But you're also releasing tension in your soul. And while you're doing this, make sure, of course, this is a little multitask, make sure to slowly and deeply inhale and exhale. And when I do this, I imagine that it's the light of Christ in me taking it into my miraculous body God gave me. And then I exhale any darkness. And it's a wonderful way to heal your body and imbue every one of your 30 trillion plus cells with vitality and enthusiasm. And because your goal day in and day out is you want to sizzle with enthusiasm, joy, and faith. You want to live a more thankful, faith-based, God-centered life.
And one thing that you just made me think about is when you're in that mode, in that energy state, does that also carry on to being compassionate, you know, having self-compassion? I think people are very hard on themselves. And they don't forgive themselves, and there's something wrong with them. And all those things that are those little negative voices, is that a way to push that out?
Yes, it is. And I'll talk about that in more detail in a moment. But it is a form of self-care. Health care begins with self-care and simply breathing slowly and deeply. And, you know, doing any of these practices will help you feel more compassionate, and you're taking kind, loving care of yourself. That's what we need to do. And while you're doing all these things, let's also remember mindful observation. For example, you can pick an object like a flower or a cloud if you're outside and study it with full attention. Again, single tasking. They all kind of go together here. Because this can lead to a deeper appreciation of God's handiwork when you're outside in nature and his love for us. Another one of my favorite quotes by Ralph Waldo Emerson said this: "Never lose an opportunity of seeing anything beautiful, for beauty is God's handwriting." I love that one. And I love being outdoors in nature. One of my favorite places to be and things to do outdoors rather than sitting in front of a computer. And whenever I'm outdoors in nature, like my hike this morning, I can't find people who will get up early enough with me to hike, to start the morning off this way, a sunrise hike. But I have a great time alone. And I always feel so connected to God when basking in nature. And by the way, it's so important to be outdoors in nature, because studies show that 20 minutes outdoors in nature will elevate our mood, reduce the risk of depression, decrease our anxiety, and also increase our energy. So the next time you need a boost of energy and you wish to bolster your attitude, maybe instead of reaching for that cup of caffeinated coffee, maybe you go outdoors and relish the beauty of God's handwriting.
I couldn't have said it better. I mean, I can imagine just you connecting without filters directly to God, all the things that we get distracted with, these negative voices, this mantra of we're all against each other. That wouldn't be in the forefront of your mind. I think it would give us a lot more reserve and the ability to see everything for what it is. And I think, figure out what's artificial and what's real.
What's real? That's so right. And you mentioned a moment ago about self-care and self-compassion. And I call this self-compassion practice. You know, when you're hard on yourself, which I am, we all are, that's just part of being human. Remember that God extends grace to us. And we want to replace self-critical thoughts with gentle, understanding words, just as Jesus would. You know, for example, when you look into the mirror, speak only positive words. Never denigrate yourself. You want to be your own best friend, and our best friends take us how we are and love us through it all. And in return, we talk out our problems and often speak from a place of truly wanting the best for each other. That's really important, to only speak loving, kind words about yourself.
So from a physiologic standpoint, are there any studies that show when you enter this energy state that things, medical conditions like blood pressure issues or having hyperglycemia, do those things change when you're in the state of self-love and gratitude and peace? Because this is what you're describing as peace and joy, really.
That yes.
You are generating it yourself. Does that carry over to your physiology, to your body?
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000,000,000,000% yes on that one. Everything from it helps take away pain. It releases hormones in your body that elevate your mood, like serotonin and dopamine. It does lower blood pressure. It helps your gut health. It improves your immunity. Because think about it this way. The opposite of that is what being anxious and stressed out. And you and I did a whole show previously on what happens in our body when we're stressed out. So this is just the opposite of everything that's good for your body. And let me talk another moment about self-talk and how to be more positive and less stressed. My mom and grandmother always reminded me to make your self-talk friendly. Always make it kind, encouraging, positive. Like you could look in the mirror and do affirmations. I do a lot of talks on self-esteem and living with confidence. And I remind people that when you do positive self-talk, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, oh, look at the gray hair, the wrinkles, oh, my skin is breaking out, oh, I look exhausted. When you do positive self-talk, look how great I look today. You reframe the way you look at stressful situations, understanding that you will approach challenges with the best of your ability and that whatever the outcome, you did the best you could. So in other words, tackling these situations with an I can do it or I can handle this mindset rather than a negative, this is too hard. Nothing ever works out in my favor, you know, and these kind of phrases opens up new ways of thinking and problem solving, integrating that positive self-talk into daily routines. It enhances your resilience, your motivation, and it's so good because you're practicing stress management skills. And by the way, don't compare yourself with others. God made us all unique and special the way we are. We do need to prioritize our mental health and our physical health. And I don't know how much time we have left, but I want to talk about a little bit more about self-love and why it's important for being healthy and some misconceptions that a lot of people have about it.
Well, let's take a break because I don't want to stop you in the middle of your flow. So let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Jones. And before the break, you were really delving into the power that we all have. And one thing that you mentioned that I think is really key is that we're all special, right? We're all individual. You cannot compare yourself because God made us to be who we are. So from a standpoint energetically, when you're exuding this type of confidence, and it's not arrogance, it's confidence, it's a difference there. Mm-hmm. Does that affect the people around you? Do they pick up this positivity, and does it pervade? Does it actually affect other people? Just like, I guess the opposite of people are like a black hole. We've all had those where you feel bad when you're around somebody. Does this have the opposite effect?
Yes. You know, when we're around negative people, it's draining on our energy. And when we live a more God-centered life and we're confident and we have higher self-esteem, then our heart light, it shines brighter. And other people, whether they are aware of it or not, will pick up on that. They'll leave, let's say, having a conversation with you and think, I feel better after talking to him or her. And, you know, a lot of this has to do with, and I love talking about this, self-esteem. And I think most people wrestle with low self-esteem on a regular basis, or perhaps during challenging times in their lives. I know I do, and as I mentioned a moment ago, it's part of being human. But there are ways to bolster our self-esteem, and it starts with how we feel about ourselves. So I'm going to ask you a question. When was the last time you looked in the mirror and said, I love you? So not just in a casual, offhand way, but really looked at yourself in the eyes and meant it. And I think for many people, the answer is never. And I think that's heartbreaking, because loving yourself isn't about feeling good. It's about survival. It's like you just said, it's about health. It's about making sure you're not constantly at war with yourself, wearing yourself down until your body and mind give out. So you see, not loving yourself isn't just a mental or emotional issue. It affects your physical health in ways you might not even realize, because stress, anxiety, burnout, even weakened immunity, these are just a few of the ways self-neglect can show up in your body. So loving yourself is absolutely non-negotiable, and even how your faith in God can help you do it. It's so important. But here's something interesting. I go to church a lot, different churches actually, and when I travel a lot, I love to visit cathedrals and churches. And one of the biggest misconceptions about self-love I've seen in churches, especially the Christian circles, is that it's selfish. That if you love yourself too much, you become prideful or self-centered. But I don't think that could be further from the truth, because God himself calls us to love ourselves. In Mark 12:31, Jesus says what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And that means we can't love others well unless we first love ourselves. And one of the biggest reasons, I think, people struggle with self-love is that they don't feel worthy. They don't feel like they're enough. They're not smart enough, attractive enough, thin enough, tall enough, successful enough. But here's the real truth, that your worth isn't based on what you do or how you look. It's based on who God says you are. In Psalm 139:14, it's you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And Colossians 3:12, you are chosen and clearly loved. And in Genesis 1:27, you are created in God's image. So think of it this way. If the creator of the universe sees you as worthy, and he does, and valuable and loved, who are you to say otherwise?
That's a really, really deep way to see it. And with that in mind, you don't judge. You're incapable, actually, of judging other people, because if you have that special spark that God gave you, everybody else does. So it's not like I'm better than you, I'm less than. All the things that people try to indoctrinate us with, it just doesn't apply.
Yes. Yes. And I so agree with that. And I believe that so much of this goes back to, let's talk about health for a moment. Treating your body as a temple. Loving yourself, to me, means caring for your body, your mind, your soul. Because why? They belong to God. And for me, that might mean, let's make it very practical, eating nourishing foods, getting enough rest, avoiding toxic influences, speaking words of life over and to yourself. So self-care isn't just about you. I believe it's about honoring the body that God gave you. And when you're... And I like to always say, like one of my favorite affirmations is, I rest in God's love. I rest in God's love. When you're constantly striving for perfection, like a lot of people do these days, always trying to be enough, it's exhausting. But God never asked us to carry that burden alone. Like Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So sometimes loving yourself can simply mean letting go and trusting God. It means surrendering the need to be perfect and embracing the grace that He freely gives you. And at the end of the day, you know, if I have to summarize all this, at the end of the day, I believe that the most important relationship we'll ever have is the one with yourself and with God. And God doesn't want you to hate yourself. God doesn't want you to walk through life feeling unworthy or not enough. He created you in His beautiful image, and He calls you loved, chosen, and precious. So don't make yourself your worst enemy. Be kind to yourself. Take care of yourself, love yourself, look in the mirror and say, I love you, and I love you, God. And if you haven't already, make sure sometime today, every day, go do that little mirror exercise. But even more importantly, when you look in the mirror, say, God loves me, because you deserve to hear it, and you deserve to believe it.
You know, from what you're saying, this is all about your essence, about you. And when you think about, we talk about digital lives and being on the internet and seeing all the, experiencing all of this negativity, it's nothing like that. The voice from the internet that pervades seems to be the opposite. You need to do this to be better. You need to be like this person. You need to follow. You know, be something that's not you. It's something that's outside of you being superimposed. I have no interest in being like any of these, you know, influencers, celebrities. That whole framework kind of takes you away from this.
And amen to that. It's just unbelievable how much people depend on, well, what would this celebrity do? What does this celebrity say? It's what you say. It's what comes from your heart. And let's even cap this off with, if you don't get enough sleep at night, then that lowers your self-esteem and it lowers your physical and mental health. You're cranky, you're crabby, you have no patience, you're no fun to be around, it's hard to see the positive. It makes you eat more food, especially nutrient poor foods when you don't get enough sleep. It makes you think you can't exercise because then you don't have enough energy. So all of this is contingent upon making sure you've got good sleep ritual at night. And you and I have talked about sleep on a show all by itself, how important it is to get sleep, how to sleep like a baby. Often when I'm going to sleep at night, I say, as I breathe in, peace. And as I exhale, be still. Or I breathe in to I let go. And I exhale and let God. I let go and let God. Or stillness. You breathe in to still. You breathe out to ness. You know, things that you can do just to calm your mind. These are all forms of great loving self-care.
That's awesome. I'm going to share that with my patients because there are people who, you know, they tell you their brain won't turn off. They just can't seem to turn it off or disconnect, and their sleep is destroyed because of that. And then we have all of these other fillers, whether it's alcohol to help you sleep or some sort of medication. But what it does to me is that it takes away authenticity. If you can't feel because you've got this cushion between God and yourself, I mean, that's tragic, really.
Right. And then it takes practice. It takes practice to focus on the positive, to remember to breathe deeply. Pythagoras in 500 BC, so that's like 2,500 plus years ago, he said something brilliant. I love this. Choose always the way that seems the best, however rough it may be. Custom will soon render it agreeable and easy. I love that. And in the Bible, my final quote is Galatians 5:22. I think it is. Pretty sure that's what it is. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Because God's given us the fruit of the Spirit in us. This quote says, is love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, and faithfulness. These are all the important life lessons and values I wrote about in the novelette Joy and the Butterfly. Again, for kids of all ages and also adults who are young at heart or just want to know how to live with more joy and passion and find the magic in ordinary days. It is such a positive, upbeat read that will just make you happy. You'll cry, you'll laugh, and you will want to be a kinder, happier, more positive person. And you will instantly, when you read that book, start counting your blessings every day.
Wow. I think time goes way too fast, and I want to make sure that people know how they can get a hold of your beautiful books, your books about comprehensive holistic health, your lifestyle books. How can people do that? Because people need to change the direction, look inside, and I think you provide the tools to help us get there.
Yes. Well, first of all, check out SusanSmithJones.com and follow me on X right there on my homepage. Follow me on Instagram at SusanSmithJonesPhD. And then in the navigation bar, it says books. And you want to go there to get joy in the butterfly because there's a way that you can get either hardback or paperback copies of Joy in the Butterfly in this ultra premium color printing, totally different than what's on Amazon. It is the most resplendent because there are lots of color images in it. Beautiful, beautiful illustrations. So if you go to SusanSmithJones.com and click on Books, in the drop-down, you'll find Joy in the Butterfly. You'll also find Uplifted, Wired for High-Level Wellness, and A Hug and a Mug. There are ways to get autographed copies from me. You'll learn about on every page. But Joy in the Butterfly, you definitely want to go to my website, go to Books, click on Joy in the Butterfly, and you'll see where to click to get ultra premium color copies that cost the same as Amazon, but they're far superior in quality and color.
Dr. Jones, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. It's always just an uplifting, relaxing, and just, I don't know, and just a God-centered conversation. And I can't wait to have you come back on so we can explore more.
Thank you so much. You know I love being with you anytime.
Good. You know we're going to call you. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. And everyone, go out and celebrate life today.
Absolutely. On that note, I want to thank everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.